Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody out there. This is today's show today. We got pretty mellow, pretty good things going on. And it's just a good day, just a real good day. And, you know, every time you get a chance to talk to a friend, it's a blessing. And every time you get a chance to talk to somebody that's really just put things down in a way that makes everything special, it's even better. And I'll get this out of the way. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete that are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. And the lady I'm speaking about is Brenda Ray. She's just an amazing woman. And she's done some, I can't really describe in words just what the value she has, the natural community, and the passion and drive that the takes of the different places. So I'll let her speak about it herself. Brenda, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Perfect.
Well, Brenda, there's so many things, and I think, I'll let you introduce yourself to the people that, I hate to be remiss and think that everybody understands Natch Community, because I'm finding out that as many of us compete, there's so many of us that don't know each other, and it's just amazing to me that with the things that, you know, the top tier natural competitors have done, that they're still so unknown. That's really amazing to me. So go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we'll get on with the show.
Sounds good. I'm Brenda, and Brenda Ray. I've been competing since the fall of 2000. Actually, I started as an amateur in women's natural bodybuilding. And I dabbled a little bit in figure a couple of times in the very beginning, too, trying to find my fit, because back then we only had women's figure and women's bodybuilding in the natural division. So I swore I was only going to compete one time, and I kept going. And it's 15 years later, and I literally just got done competing at the WNBF Pro Universe in New York City in September. So that was, ironically, someone asked me, and I had to look. That was my 30th show, actually. So much for doing it one time, but I've been very blessed to meet some amazing people along the way, make some lifelong friends that I would have never met otherwise, and be part of the WNBF, which is such a great family of competitors. If you've been exposed to it, you know there's some good camaraderie in there, too. So, things have been great. It's been a good experience. So in a nutshell, that's kind of how I got here and what I've done.
And, you know, I got a chance. Believe it or not, I've never been to an actual WNBF show until I actually went to yours. And, I was kind of spoiled, which is, it's just really amazing how things go when they're going and how they end up being when they end up being. And just, you know, that I wanted to do and be a part of a WNBF, and just to have the venue, just to have the atmosphere, just the whole surrounding where people, even though it seems like to everybody else chaotic, it's so much balance that's happening in the background that it's hard to miss. And thank you for one. And the fact that you can compete at such an elite level is also something else. And it's just really something that, you know, that you have the drive, that you have you have your own business, you have your own promotion for a show, and you also have your own body to deal with and compete, and then you actually assist others. So, you know, what I ask everybody that's in your situation, where do you find the time?
I think there's definitely, a process for the whole thing, and you learn how to balance everything out, because truly it is about balance. Otherwise, I would have burned out a really long time ago, to be honest with you, and I've seen it happen. You know, you watch people get into the sport as a competitor, no less, you know, and of course they have a full-time job outside of that, which we all do, and it can be really easy to get tunnel vision, and everything is about the show or the prep or the competition or, you know, whatever it is you're focusing on, but just remember that life still happens and it still goes on outside of that. So as a competitor myself, in the very beginning, I didn't always have that balance. So I've learned a lot, of course, myself along the way and passed on now. Obviously, I coach other athletes to the stage. I judge. I promote. So I teach a lot of workshops, too, for competitors. I really want to pass on some of that knowledge and as much as I can and help them have a better experience so that they don't get that burnout, so they last longer in the sport. And so hopefully they do get to a point where I eventually did, where I sat down and thought, how can I give back to the sport, or what can I contribute to make this a better experience? And that's where, you know, like I said, I started competing in 2000 as an amateur. I earned my pro card in 2002. And then I started judging in 2004, coaching clients in 2004, and then I added promoting my annual show, of course, in 2009. So that's going on 8 years already. You know, you really have to set aside time and make the time for your friends, for your family, for fun, just like you do for the gym and for everything else, and find the balance. I can't stress that enough. It cannot be all about competing all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And, you know, I think the people that that think they have a great career ahead of them sometimes miss the fact that they have a great life ahead of them as well. And I'm sure that you really have to crack the whip sometimes with some of the people because, you know, they get so lost in the next show that they forget about the showing they have in life.
Yeah, and that's very true. In the very beginning, you know, you're so focused on doing well that everything in your mind has to be about the show. But, you know, the bottom line is, honestly, if you have a sound plan in place that, of course, is based on science and your body, and you're eating right and you're getting enough sleep and you're going to the gym and you're drinking enough water, you don't have to sit at home and not do anything else. Everything, it will happen. The magic will happen as long as everything's in place. And, you know, once you let that go, it's a lot less stressful, too, for, you know, to be in prep. And, again, I think that's part of the longevity. What helps people last a long time in the sport is that they remember to live and enjoy and not have their whole life just be about competing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as bad. You know, you want to focus on it. Don't get me wrong. But you know what I'm saying? Where some people really literally won't do anything else. They won't go, you know, to the family function, or they won't go out with their friends because they're in prep. I still do that. I just bring along what I need. Nobody, you know, makes a big deal out of it. They're supportive. So you still want to have fun and be part of everything.
Yes, that's so true. And, you know, I had to find that happy medium with my own family, especially during the holidays. But I said, you know, the one thing I really wanted is that they could understand me and I could understand them, and I wasn't some kind of alien. It's just that I made healthier choices, because I think that's where the gist of it comes from. You know, it's like we get so involved in our own world that we don't want to hear the negativity, but we also we need to remember that we're the positive in the lives of the people we know, because it's so many bad habits, bad life choices that were passed down, you know, my family included, where you just say, wow, that's really not healthy at all. And you got to find it where you're not basically preaching, but you're more what's a good way to say it? Where you basically letting your family know that you're still a part of.
Absolutely, and I think it's, you know, comes down to the acceptance factor, like you just said. You know, you're doing what you need to do. You're still part of the family function. They understand what you're doing. You understand what they're doing or why they do it. If you support each other, the truth is, you know, and you do that without judgment, eventually they'll come around and start asking you questions anyway about, you know, like, oh, what is it that you're eating there? And I always try to teach my clients that are in prep, you know, if somebody asks you that, don't get angry and assume that they're judging mm-hmm. you. They're actually asking out of curiosity, and this could be a great opportunity for you to pass on some knowledge that they could use to help them have a healthier life. Because I think as competitors, we sort of have a tendency to put up a wall when somebody asks a question or, you know, questions why we're doing something. We always assume it's because they think we're weird, you know, but that's not true. A lot of times they're literally, they just don't understand what we're doing and they're really asking out of curiosity. So use it as an opportunity to share and, you know, pass on some knowledge, maybe shed some light, give them a little inspiration, whatever it is, you know, that you can pass on.
Yes. And, you know, it starts with family, hopefully, and then it grows into something more with the friends that you know and the people that you're teaching. And, you know, let's get back to you because this is basically our time and getting to know you. And, you and I talk a lot and we get to see each other in the different venues and different functions and formats, but it always seems like you're running one way and I'm running another. So now that we get the chance to actually sit down and converse, what keeps you going to where you can say, you know, it's still worth it? Because, the one thing I noticed that the people that have long-term is there's a why behind all of it and everything else. There's that why that keeps that heart beating for it.
That's a good question. you know, when you say that, there's so many things that went through my head of what really is the why. I don't know that it's, you know, a particular thing as much as it's kind of a collection of things. And one of the biggest things is it's just a personal goal that I have. Obviously, you know, I'm a personal trainer by trade, a wellness coach. I own my own business doing that. I do wellness coaching, lifestyle transformation coaching, as well as coach clients, of course, to the stage that compete as another area of my business. And, you know, I try to live by example, of course. So when I say that, I want to achieve my goals, too, instead of, you know, helping everybody else do theirs and sitting on the sideline going, gosh, you know, I wish I'd have done that when I was younger, or why didn't I try that thing when I had the chance? You know, so jump in when you find what you love, keep doing it. Part of, you know, that drive, again, is just for me to achieve the personal goals that I set out for myself. As you know, our sport is very, very individual. I don't do it to compete with anybody or against anybody but myself. And I think that also helps with our longevity in the sport. Otherwise, you know, you're kind of comparing apples to oranges. One thing I try to teach my clients, you know, along the way is that you don't want to compare yourself to someone and say, I want to be like that person. There may be things about their physique that you like or their stage presence that you like. That's fantastic. But remember, we're all individuals. So do this for yourself. Because when you do it for yourself, you're either going to, you know, keep doing it until you get to a point where you want to retire or you've achieved your goal or, you know, you've accomplished what you want to, and then you move on to something else. Of course, and again, leading by example for my clients, I want them to see that I can and I do live a healthy lifestyle. I do put the tools to use that I give to them, maybe to a different degree, of course, to get on stage than some people will want to, and that's fine. I want them to know, though, that whatever their goal is, I can take them there, too. You know, mm-hmm. So I really, though, the biggest thing is, honestly, for myself, to achieve my own goals that I have, you know, for myself in the sport and my own health. You know, I have a family history of heart disease and diabetes and all of that good stuff. So my goal, hopefully, is that this is all money in the bank to avoid all of that as I continue to get younger, of course, through time.
Yes. And it's so important that, you know, like you said, without the horse blinders, you know, because we do get tied up sometimes and we sometimes forget that, you know, it's still a life worth living. And without, what's the point in having good health if you never move? I can't imagine thinking that every day has to be where the gym is the total focus. Because I've, you know, especially getting closer to show days, I knuckle down just like anybody else. But I think that's just part of the business. And, you know, during the – well, I don't want to say all season because I've never understood that because I'm one of those people that was blessed to be able to play sports year-round. So, you know, it was just a different season for me. It was no off anything. It was more like, okay, let's get ready for something else. And I think in life it's the same way where we're just basically stepping into something else. So – when you're dealing with the seminars, and I've been blessed to go to that, and I really like your format and how you do it. It seems like you stay engaged, and you can keep the life and the spark in what you're saying, because that's, I mean, I don't want to say it's a selling point, but it's a very good thing to have. Opening up to others and asking them to engage is that you have a spark that basically creates that question in them.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that, you know, I think that comes naturally for pretty much anyone who really is sharing their passion, you know, instead of doing something out of obligation or, quote-unquote, doing a job, maybe that isn't something that a person is passionate about. But when you find something that you're really passionate about and you really want to share that, I do really want to ignite that spark in other people and help them light that fire the same way that it was lit for me. And God willing, I can pass that on. Of course, my goal is to keep women's natural bodybuilding alive. So obviously, you know, all competitors go to my workshops, but just to inspire other people to go out there and do it. I mean, I started somewhere too, and it is nowhere near where I am now. It's, you know, a progression of time, and I'm still not where I really want to be. I don't know that we really ever are. That's why we keep growing and working at it. But I think it helps them to hear my story a little bit too in some of those workshops that I'll teach, you know, and I'll share my personal experiences, whatever ties into that particular workshop, so that they know that it, you know, I had to work my butt off to get there too. So don't give up. Everything is possible. I think a lot of people, you know, are sitting on the sidelines and they're thinking about competing, coming into the workshops, and gosh, you know, they all look so good and I'm not ready yet. I said it for 3 years before I finally said yes to getting on stage. And then when I did, it was like, okay, you know what? This isn't so bad, you know? I think I can do this. Keep working at it. But, you know, until you dial yourself in and you get some tan on your body, you don't even really know what you look like. So you're looking at all these bodies on stage that are show ready, thinking, oh my God, I'm not even close to that. But you really are. So, you know, and again, I think it's just sharing that passion, that experience, what I've been through, what I've seen, what I've experienced with my clients. I have a lot of great clients that are happy to allow me to share their personal stories in my workshops too. So I think that helps, you know, it helps us all connect.
Yes, and it's very vital when you're, you know, because that, I've learned that, you know, it's hard to ask anybody to do anything that you are unwilling to do yourself. And to me, it's kind of fake in it when you think about it, because it's saying, you know, I need you to give. And then you're saying, well, you know, I'm going to be reserved and held back because I've already done. And it's hard to basically follow that and listen to it. So I'm glad you've chosen that, because look at the people's lives that you've changed.
Well, thanks. I mean, I hope that somewhere along the way, you know, the goal is, I always say this, and it's really true, if I can change just one person's life a little bit or help them, you know, take one step closer to the goal they never thought they could achieve, that is more gratifying than anything that could possibly be given to me in a material item. You know, you really, it's the same thing that you do. You really just love to see people succeed and achieve their goals, go where they thought they couldn't, you know, and get on stage and realize they belong there, you know, whatever it is that they want to do, just step forward and try. We have nothing to lose, everything to gain.
Yes. Now, with you being a promoter as well, how do you balance out when to actually pick a show that you can be successful at? Because I know there's you're not one of those bucket list competitors where you're saying, you know, I'm just going to do this. You put some work in for some years, and you're holding on to a top-notch physique. And, you know, hats off to that and in itself. But to be one that, you know, especially in the natural community, that people look up to you, that's, do you feel any kind of pressure for that?
Good question. And I'm smiling, and I laughed a little bit. I just said the last sentence. Yes, absolutely. I think it's all positive, absolutely, because people are super supportive and they're excited and they want to know, you know, when are you getting on stage again? And, you know, whether it's friends, family, fans, sponsors, whatever, you know, you you know, keeping in touch with everybody, keeping them informed is so important. And as you know, I went incognito this year, and for the first time in 15 years, I made it through my prep without it being totally public info. All my friends and family and clients knew that I was getting on stage, but everybody kept it under wraps and be super supportive on the sidelines. And that's why I smiled when you asked what you just did, because it was the first time that I've ever done that. I really wanted to be able to focus on the fun, on the journey. Not that it's not fun and any of that otherwise, but I just didn't want to have any kind of pressure to, to necessarily come with a placement, and you'll understand this, versus the experience. I wanted to truly just go and compete, and obviously the goal is always to do well. Everybody who gets on stage wants to do well. That's just a given. Yes. But I really wanted to just enjoy the process, the journey, feel it out, you know, where am I at in my own journey. And then I announced after the fact, after it was done, and everybody, of course, gave me a lot of flack for that in a good way. Just they had no idea that I was getting on stage. But yeah, you know, you can certainly feel a bit of pressure from the outside, but it's not because they're pressuring you. It's the way we perceive it, because we are such perfectionists. Anybody who competes is a perfectionist. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it, right? So there's a little bit of that in all of us. And so when people start supporting you and asking, when are you getting on stage, you almost start to feel obligated. Again, not because they're asking, but it's your own perception of their asking. And, you know, sometimes we have to take a step back from ourselves and just do what we do for us for a moment and get back in touch with, why am I doing this? You know, and is this because of me, or am I doing it because other people expect me to? Right? And sometimes that happens. Mm-hmm. Athletes will go on and continue to compete when they don't want to anymore and they don't love it anymore. And then they start resenting the sport or having bad experiences because it's not really what's in their heart. So, yeah, you know, sometimes you can feel a little bit of pressure. Again, not intentionally given by anybody who's supporting or asking. It's just our own perception, because we want to do well. We don't want to, quote-unquote, let anyone down.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that more and more people now are actually doing their homework about the different shows, the different venues, and also the criteria for the classes that they're competing in, because that's something, I guess, you know, just happened to, like I said, because of playing organized sports, you end up having to have good grades and stuff like that in school. So it, for me, like, doing your study and your homework was just a given, but for some, I guess it's basically I'm competing and that's all that matters. But now that more and more people are doing their homework on what they're getting into, that the shows are coming off a lot better.
I do agree with that, and I will absolutely say that it happens every season. As you know, I teach various workshops, whether it's, you know, designing your peak week or your entire prep coming out of postseason, but a lot of what I teach through the season are posing workshops. That is where I will find athletes who are doing a show because their friend recommended it, or like the person at the gym said to do this show. I'm looking at this person in my workshop, and I'm thinking, my goodness, you have such a perfect body for this division or for this particular federation's requirements versus the one you're doing. So, of course, then I'll share with them, hey, has anybody explain to you the difference, you know, between the different federations, the different looks, the different divisions, even. And every single season, there are at least 5 to 10 athletes that will completely change their course after they come and pose with me in a workshop because of that, and they do incredibly well. And I'm hopeful that more and more people will continue to give back that way, you know, to people coming into the sport. Don't be afraid to suggest, you know, a different division for someone, especially for the women. There's so many divisions, and everybody wants to do, you know, whatever their friend is doing, but that might not be where their body fits right now. And you know, they're going to do poorly in that division, and they would do really well if they did the one their body is suited for. So I'd rather see them go do well and have a great experience and compete again than go do the one that everybody said to do and do poorly because it's not where they belong.
Exactly. And it is that big a difference, you know. And you know, as much as friends and everybody else wants to say that they look awesome and look great, the fact of the matter is that that's not always true.
Yeah, you know, and that's true too. Like, every now and then, sometimes people just aren't quite ready yet. Maybe they need another 3 months, you know, or maybe they need to bring up a muscle group that maybe isn't as conditioned as the rest of their body, whatever it happens to be. And sometimes you just need an honest opinion from the outside to say, hey, you know, or even maybe it's only 4 weeks later. Hey, there's another couple of shows in 4 weeks. You know, you might want to talk to your coach, you know, and say, could we do that instead? I need more time to dial in. You know, don't just throw people on the stage in 12 weeks because that's the magic number, because that isn't really the magic number.
No.
So,
no.
Everyone is different. You know, I mean, I can use myself as an example. I started there. I take 24 weeks to dial in. So, and that's just so I don't lose mass as I get that lean. You know, I'm an ectomorph body type. My body doesn't really want to have muscle on it, but I force it. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, you have to do what works for your body type. And as a coach, I'm hopeful that, you know, the coaches are sharing that with their clients. You know, don't just, you know, hey, we're going to do bikini and we're dieting for 12 weeks because that's what everybody else is doing. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. And, you know, some people's plateau. And, you know, like what I'm learning is that I'm sure you've known this years ago, but I kind of learned it the hard way, is that some people say yes, yes, yes on the diet, and they're the first thing from their diet.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And you can see,
yeah.
Like, if something's not happening, if something's not working, and I'm not understanding, if you're going by what I've been saying, it should be at a certain point in time, and you're like, something's
yeah.
not quite right. Yeah.
For sure. I mean, absolutely. There's always that. And sometimes, you know, I'm sure you've experienced this too. You know, a client may be doing something innocently, you know, adding something in thinking, oh, there's nothing in that. No big deal. It's just kind of a little something I'm doing for flavor. And then, you know,
mm-hmm.
you explain to them and then you tell them, okay, so by the end of the week, if you added that to your food every day, that's an extra 500 calories. So at the end of the month, that's another pound that you're not losing, you know?
Yes.
But, you know, sometimes it's just an educational thing. They, you know, they don't always know maybe as much as sometimes we think they might. And you just really need to dig into that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, in this day and age, I noticed that it's almost like you're afraid to ask, because you don't want to appear to be stupid. Because what, you know,
oh, yeah.
I get that we come off with the common sense type persona, but these things are something
yeah.
we do every day. And it's like when you're teaching somebody, I'll basically set it up where they have to ask a question. And I don't know if you've had to do that, but it's like I'm going to get the answer I want because I know something's not matching up.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. I mean, you know, first thing I do when I take someone on as a client to coach them to the stage, if I'm going to design their entire prep for them, is I lay it out right away and just tell them, ask me questions. Do not wait until our update, you know, particular day of the week, because then we've lost 5 days in between there. We could have made progress if you'd have asked the question. I just always tell them, I mean, there's no question too big or too small. If you have to ask me, you know, 6 times a day or send me 4 emails in the same hour because this thing, you know, it keeps popping in your head, please do. You know, that's what we're here for. Because I think a lot of people feel, I'm lacking a better word, they almost feel silly for asking you, like, you know, because of what you do or how much you've done and how long you've been in the sport. They feel like, oh, I'll just get this plan from you and I'll do it and the magic will happen. But they need to ask questions, you know, because just what you said, we've been in it for so long. You know so much about, you know, if you feel like this, you know, then this could be wrong or that could be wrong. And they're just thinking
mm-hmm.
like, this is part of prep. You know, I always tell
yes.
them too.
Yes.
You know, if you start feeling tired, you have to tell me when you feel tired. You shouldn't feel tired and worn out, you know, or if you start feeling hungry, that's not part of prep, you know. because they assume that it should be a little bit miserable, so they, I think, neglect asking sometimes, just assuming that that's part of prep.
Yes, and it'll have something go south so fast that it's frightening. And, you know, just being who you are, you know, it's like they look up to you, but they're also kind of intimidated as well. So how do you deal with, or how do you get around that?
Yeah, that does happen a lot, actually. And part of it is, you know, those first couple of conversations that we have when I work with someone, you'll see on my website, I don't have a space for them to click purchase a prep plan with Brenda because I want to talk to them. I'm a real person. They're a real person. We need to connect. I need to assess them a little bit. And when I say that, it's for no other reason than the type of personality they have, so I know how can I help them be comfortable, you know. And sometimes that's just sharing more about my story or my personal experiences or what I went through in the beginning of my own competing, because I've always done my own prep. And, you know, when I share with them some of the things that I was counting as protein in the beginning, way back when, they laugh. And I think that's the moment when they're like, okay, she's a real person. She has been there, you know.
Yes, yes.
You know, so it's making them understand that I've said this in my workshops. You may have heard me say it in my workshops. The first thing I always tell them is we are all equal. Every one of us are equal. We're all in this together. Nobody's higher. Nobody's lower. We are all athletes in the same sport, loving this for the same reason, and I'm here to help guide you because I've done a few more shows than you have, and that's the only thing that's different, you know, because we're all still learning, you know, and
yes.
I think once you make that an even platform, they realize, okay, you know, because we are really all equal in the sport. There's no different. It's, you know, we're all on the same journey.
Exactly. And, you know, there's different levels of training, different levels of experience. But hopefully it's the same drive and the same passion,
right.
and sooner or later we can just feel, you know, figure out where we fit in. But there was something that just kind of floored. I don't really want to say well, people will know it as soon as I say it, but I'll let them figure it out for it. It's like when I was learning about nutrition, and there was a certain group where they counted fruit as zero. And that makes no sense at all. I said, unless it's water.
No.
I didn't see how anybody could, and yet they were actually, I mean, this is a big named diet nutrition company, and I was just shocked. But, you know, people don't know, and they follow it. And I said, I wouldn't put it down to the HCG diet, but I said it was almost just as laughable to me where you hear it, but, you know, when somebody's learning about it when they're using their health on the line, it's not so funny.
No, not at all. I mean, it's interesting. It is very interesting because, you know, I also will get a lot of athletes coming to my workshops that may be working with a different coach, you know, for their nutrition part of it, their training, and or both. You know, because I don't always have people coming to the workshops that are my clients specifically. They could be anybody. And sometimes they'll tell me things and my jaw hits the ground and I'm like, well, you know, if that's what your coach has you doing and you're comfortable with that, that's okay. But I'm just going to tell you based on science, you know, this is what I would recommend, you know, with my clients, but you really need to touch base with your coach on that. And I'll send them right back to their coach because I have no control over any of that, you know. When they're working with someone else, but yeah, there's been a lot of things. You know, I think the biggest pet peeve of mine probably right now is the if it fits your macros garbage. So if it fits your macros is great. If you're eating, you know, relatively healthy food, I have no problem with that. I agree. If it fits your macros, you could have chicken or beef or, you know, whatever. But you know, you could have 300 grams of carbs from grains and vegetables, or you could have 300 grams of carbs from one bowl of ice cream. That doesn't really fit your macros. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I'm not a fan of how far that's been taken. It can work, but I think it's taken out of context a lot.
Well, you know, for me, it's always been, you know, the long run, the end game. Mm-hmm. And I don't want, you know, I've told anybody that I've worked with that I'm not teaching you to get ready for stage. I'm teaching you to get it ready for life because, you know, the stage is such a small component. When you think about all the months, all the time, all the diet, everything that goes into that, half hour maybe that you're on stage, it's so minuscule. And you think about the friends you make, the life you have, the health that's increased, all of those things should be much more important than that brief moment that, you know, I mean, great. It's a great time to be out there. I said, it, like any other sport, it's always great to be under the light and showing your best. I'll never knock that. But I say it's if you took all the practices away and all the everything else that I did for organized sports, I don't think I would actually enjoy the game as much because the teammates wouldn't mean as much. The family support wouldn't have any value because basically they're just showing up to the game. So there's so many things that go into a prep that have nothing to do with stage. If you forget that, then you miss the whole thing.
That is the exact sentence that I will also utter in those first few moments of talking with a potential client who wants to get on stage is the biggest thing that we will do is enjoy the journey and focus on the journey, because if you are outcome focused, you will be grossly disappointed. Even if you place first and win the overall in that show, it will not be as gratifying because you were not present in the journey to get there. And it's the things you do every day, people that you meet, you know, the ahas, the oh crap moments, the things like that that happen along the way that really define you, and they make you a stronger person. So it's so important to live every day in the moment, enjoy the journey, because then the outcome is honestly a given. You're going to do great because you put in your homework. And when I say great, I mean, I honestly feel, and I tell my clients this too, everybody's a champion before they get to the stage, because there's a lot of people sitting on the couch right now that would love to do this, but they're scared to death to try. So you took, you know, that brave step, you started, you went through prep, and you're going to get on stage. I want you to enjoy the prep. I'm not saying there aren't going to be days where you're like, holy cow, I don't know if I can do this. We all have those moments, you know, but if you're really present in the journey and you're connecting with your family, your friends, other competitors along the way, you have the support you need, you're pretty much unstoppable. You know, that's why we do this together.
And it makes such a difference because, you know, so many people can actually enjoy that moment and it's shared. And I said, you know, we can look at it like an individual sport, but I said, if you really understand the gist of it, it's the furthest thing from it. It's one person on stage, agree, but there's so many people that put that person up there. It's almost humbling. And I can't recall ever thinking I did this. You know, I can't ever recall making that statement where it actually even wanted to sound remotely close to the truth when me stepping on stage. I look, like you said, I look back at the journey and all the people and everybody that was just there. You know, the people that basically turned on you and left you high and dry because they figured this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And then there's people that have been there from day one.
Absolutely, for sure. I mean, honestly, I was having a chat about this when we were, I was at the universe competing with, I have friends that also went to compete, and you know, it's just chat backstage, you're waiting, hanging out, and you start talking about the overlooked people, you know, it might be that person in the gym, it's like, you know, we call them your gym buddy, they're just in the gym when you're in the gym and you trust them, you have these deep conversations about things that you only talk to with that person, and, you know, you ask them for a spot to get you through a tough set, they're the ones that are seeing the blood, sweat, and tears, truly, and you know, it's those moments when you're almost there, you're at the show, you know, getting ready to compete, and you're like, man, you start reflecting on that day you wanted to leave the gym because you were just, I don't have it in me today, and that person didn't want to leave, you know, or, you know, it's, you know, you want to, you got to remember those people because, my gosh, if we didn't have all those people in our lives, this is not an easy process. If it was, everyone would do it. There's a lot of internal growth and internal strengthening that goes on. It's not just the external body. There's a lot going on inside at the same time. And Amen for all those people that stand by us. And I'll say this with a smile and a chuckle too. It's those people that are brave enough to go backstage with us. sometimes on show day, you're not always as polite as you normally are.
That's true.
I always try to forewarn my clients, spouses, significant others, whoever they're taking backstage with them. I'm like, look, whatever comes out of his or her mouth backstage, just blow it off. They don't mean it. And they'll be totally fine once the show is over.
Yes. As soon as they get some food, they're fine.
then the stress is over. You know, they're just stressed out.
Yes.
You know, it's amazing, though, really, how many people it really does. Literally, this is a situation where it literally does take a village to get us on that stage, no doubt.
Oh, yes. And the first thing I noticed, and this is because of my basically indoctrination with the NPC, was when I went to a natural show, and it was so many people basically with a laundry list of people they wanted to thank. And I was unfamiliar to this because, you know, like I said, on the other side, it was an I statement basically behind everything that was going on, even though they know that's not the truth. This is how they're supposed to portray themselves as, you know, incredibly strong characters of whatever. And I was just amazed to hear, you know, calling, you know, especially when we started doing the interviews, and the people would be, get over here. You know, I want them to see exactly who I'm talking about. It's like, you mean that much because of everything you've had to deal with from all the crap that I had to put out getting ready for this show.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, how much of a difference there can be. But truly, I mean, I even just think about in the beginning when I started competing, it's been a long, fabulous 15 years, truly. I can't even believe that's been that long. But I even think back to the beginning of that, and you don't even realize as you're going through it, especially in the beginning because you've never done it before, how many people played a part in getting you there. You know, and the older and wiser, of course, we get, you start reflecting on some of that. I think you have a greater appreciation. And
yes.
The truth is, too, you really find out who your closest friends really are, no doubt about it, because they're the ones that they're cheering you on, even from a distance when, you know, you just like, I don't want to do anything. You know, like, I just want to stay home tonight or, you know, whatever it happens to be. You know how it is in the end. We do get very laser focused in the final, I would say, at least 4 weeks. But,
yes.
You know, where you start kind of just shutting out some of the outside noise a little bit more and focusing on just relaxing and dialing in. And it's those people that don't mind sitting on the sidelines, you know, and they're there on your show day cheering you on, knowing that this
mm-hmm.
was your goal.
Yes. And there's something that I have to put out there because I've researched this because I said, for me, it's always, you know, I want to know. Is it really that? Because people think that it's selfish to be that way. And I said, I can't really see that. Because I said, I did the same thing in basketball. I did the same thing in football. I did the same thing in baseball, in soccer.
Yep.
And whatever I was playing, when it came game time, I can't be that guy that's doing all the things that everybody wants because I still have a game to play. And just the fact that, you know, all right, there's a halftime, I still got to get back out there and do it. And I said it would almost be like if we were able to just come down out of the game and just run up in the bleachers and hang out at halftime. Our coach would be livid and basically sit us the rest of the game because you guys must be stark raving crazy not to take the game serious enough where you can't do what you're supposed to finish the game out. And that's the way I see it with natural bodybuilding because, you know, granted, I'm at the gym working out, but it's with an intent. And I don't think that's selfish. If I take it seriously what I'm doing, because I hear people apologize all the time. I was so selfish with my time. No, I was focused on what I had planned to do because I have to see it all the way to the end.
No, I totally agree. And I think that there is a fine line there. I think that some people are perhaps made to feel guilty by people that are in their lives that maybe aren't as supportive as the athlete would like them to
yes,
be.
Yes, exactly.
So they see it
exactly.
as, you know, they see it as like, oh, I should not be this focused on my personal goal. You know what? You should be. But again, there's definitely a balance there. You don't want to cut people out of your life, but you certainly find out who the people are in your life that truly care about you, that truly love you, that truly want to see you succeed and are truly going to support you in whatever it is you have to do to achieve that goal. As long as you, of course, inform them of what your goal is, then they're supportive of it. But I think, again, a lot of times it's that people that are, you know, in our shoes, prepping to get on stage, feeling guilty because whoever it is in their life is making them feel bad because they have to go to the gym again. Why can't you skip the gym today? You know, or why can't you go out drinking with all of us on Friday because it sets me back a week, you know?
Exactly.
So I think a lot of times those are the people that maybe are kind of still in that position where, and you'll understand what I'm saying, your circle changes as you continue to compete.
Oh, yes.
You attract different people in your life, and it's not a bad thing. It's not good. It's not bad. It just is, and you need to accept that the people that, you know, you associate with now will always be in your circle. They just might be on the periphery because they have a different lifestyle than you do now.
Mm-hmm.
You have to decide, is that change something that's worth it to you?
Exactly. What's the worth of what you're basically planning to do right here and now that's going to be affecting
right.
you in a day or a week or a month? Because, you know, I said, I can't see, you know, getting to the championship game and then saying, you know, this is the time I'm going to take off and reward the people that have basically been complaining the whole trip. I said, that's like having a kid in the back seat and you reward him for kicking you the whole drive. And you say, well, you know, here's some ice cream. No. Look, if you don't straighten up, then one of us has got to go. The same person that's saying that they're being selfish with their time is the same person that doesn't want to be spoken to while they're playing their Xbox.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There you go.
It's totally true. It's very
that's
true,
cool.
And it's making me chuckle. You know, I'm just thinking of the way I was raised, and amen to both of my parents for being wonderful people, because I was always taught other people's opinions are their opinions. Don't take them on as your own. You know, so everybody's entitled to say what they want to or how they feel, but don't take that on and own it, because it's a reflection of them. It's a reflection of where they're at and their acceptance or lack of acceptance, you know, of what anybody is doing. And I think, again, you know, a lot of people have to understand that if you change your lifestyle, you're going to definitely attract some fabulous new people into your life and hopefully keep a lot of the amazing people that have been part of your life, but there's definitely going to be a few that trickle off, and that's okay. You know, it's helping them. It's helping you. Life is a constant change. It's not always the same. And then, you know, you meet new people. It's okay. But like you said, those are the ones that are apologizing for something they shouldn't be sorry for. Are you really sorry that you achieved something you set out to do? You know?
Yeah. And it's positive as natural bodybuilding is, I don't want the people that basically, by hook or by crook, because, you know, there's some people that have the best support in life, and they make it to stage, and it's a wonderful experience. But there's some people that made it to that stage kicking and dragging and screaming because they had to fight their own people to get there. And when you realize all they need is that group of support that we know versus the group that they've been dealing with, and their lives blossom like nobody's business.
Yeah, and I actually have a little policy I try to always do with my clients too when I take them on, coaching them, is to connect them with other people that compete that I am coaching. So they always have that outside connection, especially if they're new to the sport and this is brand new to their their circle or their family, for example, it helps them to be able to connect with others that are going through it so that they know they've always got that support. And it also helps them not feel isolated then either if, you know, their family members don't understand it yet. Doesn't mean they don't accept it. They just don't understand it yet. You know, and even, you know, connecting them to, like, my private Facebook forums for my clients that I coach, things like that, it really gives them a great outlet. Or, you know, there's some people that I've been coaching for years that are, you know, have been competing for a while. They're amazing because they're like, oh, yeah, I went through that too, you know, when I first started to compete. And, you know, here's what I did. So it's just more insight. You know, the more, again, we're all on the same page. We're all in this together. The more we help each other, the more positive it is for an experience for everybody.
Yes, and you know, I never want it to get to the point of groupthink, but I'm always glad where it can be group sharing, because that's what makes the difference for so many.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's a different lifestyle, it's a different format of living, and it is strange to people. Mm-hmm. But I said, you know, I never would have dreamed, and I'm not kidding when I say this. I never would have dreamed that good health would be considered counterculture in America, because I've been around it so much of my life. I never really thought that it would be seen as like the kid on the outside, not the group that understands everything inside. So this is new to me. I said it's almost like we're fighting back for good health. And I think bodybuilding is one of the best ways to go about it, because it's natural.
And, yes, that is so true. I actually literally just had a conversation with someone yesterday at the gym who I was working out in a different city in a different gym after working with clients, and someone came up to me and said, hey, do you mind if I ask you, do you compete? I saw you walk in, da-da-da-da-da. And long story short, he asked me, how long have you been competing? And I said, I smiled and I said, honestly, it's been 15 years and I can't even believe that. He's like, whoa, that's a long time, isn't it? And I said, not for a natural, no, because, you know, we don't take anything. We're totally clean. We just live a really healthy lifestyle. So the longevity is incredible in our sport, where he had come from, he didn't compete, but he had friends that had competed when they were younger in the NPC. And, you know, They unfortunately, these particular friends were starting to take things in college, and they have heart issues, kidney issues, you know, they're barely functioning. So it was dumbfounding for him to realize that there were natural federations that 15 years is like a year, you know, for us.
Mm-hmm, yes.
It's not a long time to be competing. And our, I mean, we could literally go on as long as we feel like it, truly, you know.
That's true.
So it was a great eye-opener for him. And I gave him my business card, and I said, hey, you know, come check out my show in the spring. You can see what this is all about. I think you'll really like it. So I hope that he takes that offer and comes to see it. I think it will be a great eye-opener. And, again, the more we spread the word, you know, the stronger it gets. So
it's so different. And the fact that this is something, like I said, we do every day, and people don't understand that it can be an everyday lifestyle. Because, like you said, it's either gym or nothing for some. A lot of people are caught up in this all or nothing mentality, and it's frightening to people that have found balance, and it's even more frightening to people that have found balance mentally, spiritually, and physically through natural bodybuilding, because this is something we've had to basically rein in years ago.
Yeah.
Where that demon is no longer a demon anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, it's a great experience, and it's also a great experience to see that happen for someone else, where everything starts to come together and they realize that our success in life in general, not just competing, it really comes from the inside, and then that's what you see on the outside. So, you know, it goes back to some of the lifestyle transformation coaching I do with my wellness clients. You know, we start with what's on the inside. You know, where are your thoughts, and what do you believe? What do you surround yourself with? That's really what makes you successful on the outside. And just what you said, it's all-encompassing. It's not just taking a protein shake and going to the gym and hoping for the best, you know?
Yes. And it's I don't even want to get out. That's a whole nother show, but you know, you've actually been one of the pioneers on that as well, where you know you thought where supplements are truly supplemental, not the
yeah.
end all be all. And you know, that was
nope.
that was really something when I went to your seminar, I really had to listen to, because you know I was one of those people that fell into that, where you had to have a daily regimen of this, that, and the other. And it's like, or you went in, and then when you explain that, it's basically you're almost falling into the same mental format of a person that's doing illegal substances, because you're
uh-huh.
becoming dependent on it. So if you can't just eat and get to the gym, then maybe you're going about it the wrong way and with the wrong mindset. And you know, then I just actually, because you said that, it actually challenged me to go even further with my studies, and I found out that they said, you know, either there's two reasons that you basically lift weights, and one is to get muscle, and one is to be healthy. Very seldom
uh-huh.
is it the same. And I said, well, then I yeah. thank God for going to your seminar. That way I didn't fall into the mistake of saying, well, you know, because that's, you know, when I hear people express why they made that, well, what do they call it, the trip to the dark side. I'm thinking that's not a
yeah.
trip. That's the rest of your life. Because, you know, when you make that
yeah.
mental decision, even your brain changes.
Yeah, absolutely, it does. No doubt about that. But, I mean, it comes down to even simple stuff. You know, when people are, quote-unquote, taking supplements, it could be, you know, a natural product. Maybe they're taking, you know, a pre-workout or an intro workout, and then they're taking, you know, a fat burner and this and that. And it's like, okay, let's slow down a little bit here. Have
mm-hmm.
you tried to do this with food and sleep first? Let's try that. And then that's why it's called a supplement. Let's put it in there if you need it. But odds are you don't need it, especially, I mean, if I have clients coming to me and they're in their 20s, let me tell you, your body is amazing. It is capable of so much. Let's do this with food and water and sleep, and then if you need something, great. But so many people are just jumping on the bandwagon, spending all this money on a lot of, quite frankly, a lot of crap that their body doesn't need, and then they're altering their body's ability to actually do these things without the supplements. So they're setting themselves up for failure later. So, again, as a natural, I mean, we are blessed, I think, in that respect where, I don't know about you, but I'd rather eat my supplements than take them
mm-hmm.
in pill form. I like food. You know, I love food. So if I have to eat more to get my vitamins and minerals, things like that, I'll eat more food. I have no problem doing that. So I don't want to drink it. I want to eat it.
Exactly. And I think Mohsen Khan was the one that called me out on that one. I'll never forget that. We were out, I think it was Red Robin, and I was talking about all the food I wanted to eat, and I ordered this drink with all kinds of fruit and everything in it. And he's like, I'd rather eat my food than drink my calories. And I was like, what? But, you know, it's like,
right?
That's what you're saying. You just don't think about things like that because it's so part of your day. Until somebody
yeah.
points it out to you, you will almost look over it.
Right. I mean, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'll have protein powder. If I can't get to, like, a whole food meal, you know, right after my workout, for example, if I have clients
mm-hmm.
following that or something like that. But, you know, when I explain to my clients, you know, you can drink the protein shake, or I'll actually map out for them what a plate of food would look like, equivalent to the protein shake, for example. And then they're like, so you're telling me I could eat that meal instead of the shake? I'm like, yes. Would you rather eat that plate full of food than drink that shake? You know?
Mm-hmm.
No, I love food.
Yeah.
Food is good.
Yeah. It's so good for you. And I'm like, it's called supplements for a reason. I said, I'm not understanding why there's such a fight back to take the supplements. And I was like, I thank God for P4P, but I said, if P4P was all I took, I can't imagine what I would look like, especially as a competitor.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that, right? But, I mean, even for
it
energy purposes, and I always try to tell my clients, you know, don't let's start your prep with the basic stuff. And of course, if your doctor's recommended you take a vitamin D or whatever, absolutely we'll do that. But I'm saying sports supplements. So we'll take all that stuff out, because the truth is, I don't know how you're truly feeling if you keep taking your pre-workout and you sip it throughout the day for energy. We don't really know if your body is getting enough from your food, because you're using that to continuously jack up your energy all day because you're afraid not to take it. You know, let's eat food first, see how you feel. We can always add more food. And, you know, if you really feel like you need that boost from that pre-workout, you take it before you go then. But don't drink it all day long like Kool-Aid. You know?
Yes.
And I have no idea if I'm feeding you enough, you know?
And I think that's very vital now, especially with more and more natural nutritionists. So I say natural because I learned, you know, like the person that took an interest in me and was helping me was an enhanced fella. I mean, when I was first brought into the bodybuilding community, he never, and thank God, he never pushed the drugs on me. But he had a different diet, is saying it mildly. I mean, now the things he could consume and still look like he was working out was much different than what I could consume and still look like I even exercised. So it's really something. I mean, let me tell you. I mean, because he could throw down on McDonald's and I've probably been in the hospital.
Yeah, I would too, honestly. And then I think I would need a full year to dial in if I ate like that.
Just off the buns alone. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. The process, I don't even want to call it bread. Whatever they're doing with those things, I said it's so hard on your body. I mean, my goodness. Woo.
Yeah, I always have a running joke with my clients. You know, I have my standards. If I'm going to blow it, I'm going to have a bowl of ice cream and have that versus, you know, McDonald's, you know, or whatever. Some people really like that kind of stuff. But, you know, I always look at it that way. What do I really love and what do I really want to eat? And then I'll work that stuff in, you know, when I'm not in my season and I can have more fun foods in my plan. I don't know. I don't eat things just to eat them. I really want to enjoy it. So, yeah, I would blow it on ice cream, dark chocolate covered almonds, stuff like that. That's what I love.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now you're talking about it. Hey, mine is always a good thing at donuts at the end of a good season. And Leif Anderson and Robbie Quinn and Anthony Pagano, we all got this running thing about the donuts after a certain show at local. That's the Chi-Town Showdown. But, you know, it's so many of us that get together at that one that whoever's there for the donuts, be ready to pay a lot for me, because I can throw down on some donuts.
yeah, it takes me a little while to build that back up post-show. So it's like I'll have a little serving or something, but that's about all I can tolerate.
Oh, yeah, my tummy's tiny. I don't want to be the insulin coma person, especially with the days of social media. I don't need that flying around with me for the rest of my life. So I'll rein it in, so nobody has to sit there and make me look like an idiot where I have to rein it in anyway.
Where you're slumped over your donut box and they took a picture of you while you're passed out.
Well, is there anything else you want to put out there before the show is over? Because I know you have upcoming shows that you do, seminars and everything else.
Yeah, no, I would love to, actually. If I can plug my show for spring, I would love to. So I'm doing this is my eighth year promoting in 2016, of course, and it's the WNBF Pro and Amateur Show. And it's the Central USA Natural Championships. It's May 14th, 2016 in Kohler, Wisconsin. It has a Facebook page, and it's also listed on my website, which is just brendaray.com. So, love it. So, if, you know, spectators, athletes, whatever, come and support the show. There's always vendors, a great little wellness expo attached to it that's free to the general public. You don't have to have a show ticket to check that out. And then, of course, we'll start the spring workshops, again, for competitors, starting with a competitor camp already in December this year and then running all the way through June, various workshops and things like that. So people can find all the workshops. They will actually be posted on my website as well, which is BrendaRay.com. So feel free to shoot me an email or a message anytime.
And it makes it definitely makes a big difference because, you know, these, like I said, people are more informed now. And I remember you and I had joked about this a couple of years ago, but I had said it about a year prior to that, is that, you know, the look that people were winning with in 3 years wouldn't be what could win now, even in some of the pro categories, because the physiques are just coming in that much better. But like I said, when we actually started taking care of our own, meaning natural competitors coaching natural competitors, the understanding and the metabolisms were able to basically be addressed as well. It's not just, well, do as I say because, you know, I'm your coach. It was more, I've lived the life that you're trying to get to.
Right, yeah, and that is so important. The, you know, it's always a red flag if you ask a question as an athlete to your coach and they say, because I said so, I'm your coach, run like hell the other direction, because they should answer your questions. They should always answer your questions in great detail. That is why you're paying them to coach you. If they don't have an answer, then they're using a little bit of the quote-unquote bro science instead of true science, and that's not good.
Yes.
You shouldn't be doing, you know, 2 hours of cardio on 1,200 calories. That's just not a good idea, you know?
And exactly. And it's well, you know, I don't want to end the show on that kind of note. But I'm glad that people were able to step in that knew what the hell they were talking about to save these people's lives. I'm saying the show is irrelevant for me. It's like, no, your health should be paramount. And I'm just shocked that you know, they would. I'm needing to call
But it's good, though. Like you said, but the word has spread, you know, and people understand that. The more they have contact, you know, with the sport and natural coaches, like you said, stepping up and having us share what we've learned based on science, and then having a coach who has, you know, a background, who's certified, has a degree, that's all important, you know, having some strong knowledge behind it. People are, I think, are, you know, more and more and more aware of that, and it's improving greatly, you know.
Yeah.
Again, that's why I try to do as many of the workshops and seminars as I can. I want people to know that this should be a really fun, a really enjoyable process. It's an amazing transformation that happens both in, you know, internally and externally. And you want to enjoy it. It should be a fun experience.
And it is an enjoyable experience if you truly have the passion, if the trophy is in first place, if you really understand that you've done some amazing things with a body you said I can't do so many times before. It's really something.
Absolutely. No doubt about that.
Well, thank you, Brenda. And wait. I know you also do something, and I can't remember what it is. It's something you do on Facebook, and it's like an invite. It's an open invite for people to do on a regular basis. What do you call it?
You might be talking about my Living Clean in 2015.
Yes.
The transformation program that I do. Is that what you mean?
There we go.
That's a 10-week transformation program that I run every 10 weeks. We literally just kicked it off this week. For the next 10 weeks, we have a group right now, and the next one will start, of course, the first week of January, and I will throw out another invite for that one as well. But it's amazing. It's for everyone. You can, you know, be just starting out on your wellness journey. Maybe you want to lose 100 pounds. You could be a competitor who's competed before, looking for, you know, that life improvement outside of prep, outside of the stage. I mean, it's literally for everybody. And it's very personalized, customized. I take a small group of people. I limit it. 25 is the max I would do, but ideally I try to keep between 10 to 15 people in a group. Super, super successful, literally 110%. I have been running it every 10 weeks since January of 2014. I was only going to do it one time for that first 10 weeks, and it was such a success. I thought, you know, why am I not doing this with everyone? So took everybody through it step by step, week by week. You don't have to travel anywhere. It's all completely done remotely. We use my Bridgeline for my business. I teach a class every week that way. So we have the private Facebook forum that we connect on. It's awesome. So, yeah, please, anybody who wants to jump on board, fire at me for some info. I love teaching it.
Yes, and you're an excellent teacher, so I'm glad that they have you. I thank God that they're in your hands, because that's very important for anybody that's passionate about health and fitness. You want to make sure the people that are trusting their basically their lives, and you know, because health is life. Let's be honest, and they're trusting all of that so freely, and you know, to have it addressed in a way that will make them successful, it's such a blessing, and I'm just overjoyed about that. And thank you for that, and thank you for everything that you've done, do, and plan to do, so that, you know, to grow people in health and fitness, the natural community, and basically anybody that's, you know, not really stepping on stage but just wanting to be healthy in general.
Absolutely, and seriously, thank you for that. Thanks for having me on the show too. And as long as I am on the planet, my goal is to continue to give back and help people literally live the life they thought they couldn't. You know, it's not as challenging as it seems to be. As long as you know the right information and you have the right steps to get there, anything is possible.
Oh, my goodness. That's so true. That is so true. Because, you know, we're only limited by the company we keep and the mm-hmm. stuff we keep in our minds from what they say.
Absolutely true.
So any final thoughts? Mm-hmm.
I think we've covered it all, but just a huge thank you to you again for having me on, and I want to definitely say a huge thank you to all of the fabulous people who support me, my family, my friends, my fans, my sponsors, to see this crazy fun journey of competing and just life in general. Again, I would not be here without all of that, and God knows there's been a lot of hills and valleys over those 15 years that the sport, my friends, my family have pulled me through, so very thankful for all of that.
Amen to that, because it's not easy. Like you said, it's never easy.
Right? Everyone would be doing it.
Yes, and it's those days. And you're thanking God for each and every person that's there, because those days happen, let me tell you.
No doubt, right? But truly, really, thank you again for reaching out to have me on. It's always a pleasure to connect with you. I know we don't live that far apart, but it seems like we connect at shows, like you said, and then we're running in different directions all the time, so it's always good to have some downtime to connect.
Yes, that's a blessing in itself. And, I enjoy speaking with you because of your knowledge and your background. I mean, you're so in-depth with what you know, and you're so willing to share it that I know that everybody that gets engaged in that actually gets growth from it, and that's the blessing that we always want.
Thank you.
And thank you, Brenda. So I'm just so happy. And your show is when again? I want to make sure. The spring show?
Yeah. It's May 14th, 2016.
Okay. And mark it in your calendar. I'm telling you, it the venue, wow. The lighting, wow. And I just like how it was run, and the fact that everybody was just so in place and position, it's amazing. And thank you for that. And, you know, as a competitor, I'm sure there's nuances that we overlook that you've had a chance to say, you know, this needs some better guidance, some better direction. And you stepped it up, and it shows.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's always nerve-wracking. I love promoting. My goal is to give back what I would like to receive as a competitor at a show, and I really try to look at that. I think I've been blessed, you know, with having competed for so many years before I started promoting, but then also having the eyes of a judge, before I started promoting too. And so I can see from their perspective what needs to happen, the lighting, the stage, you know, and you start putting all those pieces together, and that's really how my show developed. And again, it's always being refined and fine-tuned. I love getting feedback from athletes that compete in my show. I ask for that feedback from every athlete, every show. You know, positives, negatives, whatever. Always open for constructive criticism. Of course, I'm a bodybuilder. So, and they've been really good as far as giving me feedback, and that's how things keep changing and growing. So I have to thank them for that, too.
Thank you again, Brenda. So, you know, really glad to be you were on the show. It's always a blessing. It's always a pleasure. And I hope everyone got the understanding and knowledge from a competitor, a promoter, a judge. I mean, you cover so many facets. And so when you're speaking, even though it's common to you, it's new to us. And that's what we need, because I said, in order for anyone, anything, or any mind to grow, it has to come from the outside. It can't be just us knowing us. That's what limits a mind. It takes to someone with more intelligence, with more knowledge, with more information, to actually increase the knowledge that you're seeking. So thank you for that. Thank you for being so open. And thank you for sharing you. That's a blessing.
Anytime. Thank you. Thank you also for the same.
All right. Have a great night, Brenda.
Thanks, you too.
And that was Brenda Ray. Always a pleasure, always a joy. And she talked about, you know, doing some things over the 10-week plan. Also, if we're going to be doing it at a Click Nutrition, this is where we host the show on Tuesdays, is we're challenging the Joliet community to get back into health. Because like I said, it seems like healthy people are becoming the outside source instead of the inside view of what life could be. And I'm not saying that this is something done to, it's basically just a call to arms that, you know, we're getting at a crisis state where unhealth is seen as normal. And I'm frightened by where it's going, the direction it's going. And the owner, Dustin, had actually presented this to me, and he said that he would like for more people in the area to be in a healthier state of mind. And, you know, we've been reaching out, willing to do our side of the business where, you know, there's some assistance to make sure you can get to the places you need to be. So if you have a chance, stop into Click Nutrition, talk to me on Tuesdays. I'll be here. I'm usually here during the week at different times, but I'm definitely here for the podcast, because this is where it happens and where it goes down. So just stop in, say hi. And if you want, we'll put you on the air, and you can talk to whoever we have on. It's a live showing. So if you want to speak to the natural competitors, let us know and we'll get that done too. Desiree has also pushed out there, and she'll be hosting Thursday, and she's got a great show lined up. So stay tuned for more information for Thursday's show. And we'll be posting a link on Midwest Muscle, the PPP lineup, also on the page, the website. So you can't say this information isn't out there anymore, because it is, because I'm actually putting it out there for you. So this is Kaitlyn Jackson, Midwest Muscle, PPP Real Talk. Thank you again, Brenda. Thank you, everybody that listens, because without you, there's no me. God bless you, and good night.